Welcome to the Writer Access Writer Podcast, bringing you new authors in one of today's hottest fields, content marketing. Here's your host, Writer Access founder and CEO, Byron White.
Welcome, everyone, to the Writer Access Podcast. I'm here with Gene. Gene, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Let's herd some goldfish. What do you say?
Sounds good.
Isn't that, do you think that that's, your title of your book, of course, is Herding Goldfish. Do you view that as bastardizing the title of your book? Is that like a faux pas in the marketing world to call your book Herding? Let's herd some goldfish. Are we okay with that?
I'm okay with it because it's based on a study that Microsoft did on attention spans, and they found that the average attention span was actually less than the attention span of a goldfish. So, you know, initially, a few years ago, it was actually equivalent to a goldfish, but now it's less than a goldfish. So, that's where the title came from.
We're swimming backwards, I guess, when it comes to our attention spans. Could we describe you as a technical writer based upon where many of your articles have appeared historically? American Laboratory, Computer World, The Futurist, The Los Angeles Times, Mobile World Congress. You know, it sounds like you can dig deep into some technical topics. Is that fair?
Right. That's fair, but the title is a misnomer. Technical writers write documentation and manuals that are very, you know, that tell you how to use the product.
Do stuff,
In the ins and outs of software. I'm a marketing content writer that deals with technology companies. So I'm definitely a marketing writer, and that's distinct from a technical writer.
Good to know. Tell us a little bit about your background and what corporate marketing writing you've been doing in your illustrious career.
Sure. Well, I started out as an advertising copywriter, so right out of school, I was writing ads for a big department store, Sofabiz, fashion, stuff like that. Then I started freelancing in San Francisco and worked for some agencies. And really, you know, a broad variety of clients from retailers, hotels, and restaurants, furniture makers. And then got into writing for public relations and started working with some technology companies, Xerox and some others. And then I went to work for my father, who started one of the first contract consulting firms in San Francisco years ago, where it was like rent a programmer, rent an analyst. And so I kind of took a detour from writing and helped market consultants. And that's how I got closer to what was happening with the technology. And from there, became a marketing content writer.
You've written the book from the perspective of the marketing writer, if you will, and trying to offer tips and advice and insights on even how to market your services. Where did you learn many of these practices that you're writing about in the book?
You know, this is something I've wanted to write for years. It's really all based on my experience. I didn't have any kind of training except, you know, basically how to write. I studied journalism. And kind of did that for a while and worked as an advertising copywriter, as I said. But it's really all based on working with companies, making mistakes, figuring things out, being asked to write new types of communications from, you know, never having done so before, like ebooks or blogs, et cetera. So things that I've learned, I really don't want to pass on.
Tell us a little bit about your thoughts on writing for a company and corporations. How do you determine the right tone and style and voice? Let's start with that when you're working for a corporate client, say for the first time.
You know, it's really important to look at what they've done, to look at who their customers are, what is the market like, really who are they selling to, who are they having a conversation with about the product. That's a real good starting point, you know.
Sure.
Understanding, you know, the buyer's journey and all that, and how people come to approach a particular product. I mean, if you're buying something on Amazon, it's going to be different if you're buying a very, very technical product with a business-to-business type sale.
You know, it's funny, the phrase buying journey, it seems to conflict a little bit with what I call the customer journey. Some great work by Brian Solis that talks a little bit about, you know, the customer needing to be the center of the universe these days. What are your thoughts on that? How has writing changed in your mind in the last 5 or 10 years, or maybe it hasn't changed in your mind?
I'm not sure how. I don't think it conflicts. I think whether you call it customer journey or buyer journey, I think it's the same thing. People go through a certain process.
Yeah.
To understand what a product is before they buy it. So I think we're in accord there. What was your question?
Yeah. Well, I just how is writing changed in your mind? We've seen the advent of content marketing, for example, which puts the customer at the center of the universe, no longer the products and the services. We can't push the benefits and features of our products any longer. We can't sell to people seemingly any longer. We need to change our approach to what we write and how we write it, and think about different types of wants and needs. Do you agree with all of that? And what's your take on that?
I agree with part of it. I think things have changed. Things definitely changed, and that is the internet basically has now enabled people to research products and not be as dependent on, either salesmen talking to them or collateral being sent to them. Now you have a lot more of information at your fingertips. So, but I think still think you need to be sold to, and make no mistake, as a content marketing writer, you're selling. And you better be selling, or else you're not doing your job. So, I think that hasn't changed as much. I think there's this journey now, this multi-phase journey of with different phases and different touch points that the customer has, where they're getting interested and then finding out more and then being sold.
Mm-hmm. Do you tend to is most of your work as a freelancer working, from your home and or office or both home office, or are you actually working physically in a lot of the companies that you're working with and historically as well as currently?
I have been lucky enough to work virtually, which I love. And it's really, for those companies, like some of the ones that I work for really have people all over the world. So I'm interviewing people in different time zones, and it really doesn't really matter where I am because I'm really focused on the job, the project, the deadline. I could really be anywhere. Hmm. And I do work from many, many different places wherever I am.
What are your favorite interview questions when you talk with somebody that is going to try to help and assist you with something? Tell us what your strategy is going to an interview with someone.
I do have questions that I'm going to ask, but I really like to put people at ease and not just fire questions at them, but to kind of get them talking and comfortable with the subject, and then kind of ask them questions based on what they've told me, and then I kind of look back and make sure I've covered everything. But I tend to not go 1, 2, 3 question after question because I find that it works better. I get better content when I'm just kind of I put them in ease and it feels more like a conversation. So I say that's my strategy. And I also, if I don't understand something, I definitely keep asking until I do. I'm not shy about that, and one shouldn't be. And sometimes people will go off on tangents, and you really have to pull them back and say, hang on a second. What about this? You really have to take charge of the interview to get what you need.
Do you feel like that communication is an absolutely critical component to you developing the story and the content asset you're creating?
The interview?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yes. Sometimes I'm given a lot of really great information, maybe a webinar that somebody's given or a combination of presentations and existing, raw collateral. And it's enough, really. Sometimes I do need to interview, especially when I'm working with very, very technical communications that I really need to understand. I'm not a programmer, but I need to understand something conceptually to write about. And if I don't, I really raise the red flag.
Have you seen creative briefs, for example, that are wonderfully crafted to allow you to instantly tone right into what the needs are and the goals are for a project?
I have, but they're a rarity, to tell you the truth. It's hard. It's hard to do. And often people don't understand how to write messaging, how to write a creative brief. They need help. So I do a lot of kind of what I call mentoring upward, helping people to understand what is needed and what's missing to be able to develop really succinct, well-done communication.
When you look at a sample of something that a client might give you, is that critical? And can you really build your asset, your content from that sample in a sense that you see how high you have the bar needs to be, or the tone and the style, and are you trying to reverse engineer the elements of that sample and fuse that, if you will, into the piece you're creating?
Sometimes it is well done, but often I find I'm sounding like a kind of like a Scrooge here, but I found that often things are not well done. A lot of people are very busy. They're overworked. They the writing is something they don't really want to do. So they kind of create mashups of messaging and content, and they just kind of throw it at me. And so I'm kind of I put it together, I shape it, I kind of do triage on it, I ask them a lot of questions, I kind of tell them what I need. And they appreciate that because they're just, most of the people I work with are just so busy and, they need help.
Do you feel you have your own style that you continue to bring to the work that you're creating?
Definitely. Mm-hmm. And I kind of captured in the book.
Yeah.
The whole approach and what I think is important, and yeah.
Got it. Tell us about creativity and even humor and how you're infusing that in some of the work you're creating.
I consider myself a creative person, and I think you want to write with a certain style, with a certain voice, which is very important. Sometimes humor is great. I love writing blogs because I think you can write some humor with conversational tone. Sometimes humor is not appropriate, but always a strong voice that's distinctive is, and people just resonate when they read something that has a voice. And it's just not a bunch of words that, and often you read things, all of us read things, and we just kind of we read a paragraph and our mind goes blank, and what was that? And we have to go back. So well-written communications of any type are worth their weight in gold because they just, people just resonate.
What advice would you offer to new writers struggling to launch their career? Besides prayer.
Find a mentor. Find somebody that you respect and learn as much as you can. And writing, there are certain basics in writing marketing communication. You have to understand the persona you're writing to. You have to certainly understand what you're selling. And, to me, the elevator pitch encapsulates all of the elements of a good communication. You're appealing to a customer or somebody, that you're with. You're understanding their problem, their challenges. Then you're suggesting something that will help them with a product or a service. And then you're going into a little bit about why right for them, et cetera. So it really encapsulates all of, the positioning and the content that's necessary. So if you can master the elevator pitch as a microcosm, then you got it.
Do you think that writers need to learn to sell themselves, if you will?
That's very different. I find it very difficult to sell myself. Selling yourself is really different. I find it much easier to sell other things, other people and other services. Selling yourself is always, I'm much more successful getting work through referral. That is the golden way to get work. And I've been getting referrals for years. And so that really is the way to go. But you have to build up a reputation and clientele to get to that place. I've tried all kinds of other things to get work. Sometimes it works, mostly it doesn't. It's hard to market yourself as a creative person.
How do you exceed a client's expectations?
It's a great question. What I've seen, again, is kind of a mentoring upward where you help them do their job better. And you help them understand what is needed. And so then the finished product is, it's really great that they can hang their head on. I love it. I want my customers to take credit for things. I never want to take credit for things. I want them to get the accolades, and I've had customers and awards based on the communications I've written, and that's great because, again, I'm a ghostwriter. You know, you're a ghostwriter as a marketing content writer, and you're doing it for the companies you're working for and for your end customers.
Do you ever create work for customers that actually want to use your name with attribution?
Yeah, I have, and I feel strange about that, frankly. there have been customers that want to put my name on white papers, and I told them, you know, that's really not appropriate. White papers, first of all, shouldn't have authors. Because it's a scholarly paper, then that's appropriate. But a white paper really shouldn't have an author. It's a marketing communication. You know, it's not like a magazine article or, you know, scholarly work. So I tend to, I've discouraged it, frankly.
What are some of the marketing best practices that you talk about in the book from your perspective, namely the content writer perspective?
There's a whole bunch of them. Again, you know.
Some of your favorites, your critical elements, your critical must-do.
Okay. The positioning statement, that is, again, part of the elevator pitch. The positioning statement is how you're positioning your product or service vis-a-vis all others out there, all other options and other products, other competitive products. And, that should be there somewhere high up in your communication, in the positioning statement. So that's key.
I have an interesting challenge for you to offer some advice to all the thousands of writers at Writer Access. Are you ready?
Sure.
And the 20,000 customers, we'll just throw that pressure on you as well.
Okay.
Imagine Writer Access, as you know, is a marketplace connecting, 20,000 customers with 10,000 freelance writers and editors and translators and soon-to-be content strategists. So we're all trying to make this matchmaking world a wonderful one. Customers are trying to articulate what they want, and writers are trying to interpret that and create what they want, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard to do, okay?
Yeah.
Now, we combine that with the wonderful joy of Uber, where everything is simple these days. Customers want to do business with us because it's easy to place orders. It's easy to find writers. It's easy to manage the workflow, right? So our software has to be crazy simple, which is kind of a downsider too. So if you were to study our order form right now, which anybody can do and get a free trial of Writer Access and just go look at the order form, there's a lot of pieces in there, right? There's a descriptions, there's creative briefs, there's checklists, what's the tone and styles you want, authoritative, you get the idea. There's like, if you study that form, there's probably 150 things you could fill out. Imagine 150. So if you were trying to work with a writer in a marketplace with a customer like ours, what would be most important to you? You mentioned positioning statements, right? You know, and I know that you're probably going to want to talk about a specific, product description or a white paper, an asset, but think generally with me right now. Do you think a customer can describe what they want in a paragraph or two and you can hit the mark on that? Say it's a blog post or a simple order or even a white paper, because we have to deal with all these types of assignments. Can this be simplified, Gene, so you, the writer, could really run with this and maybe the process doesn't work like you deliver the entire thing to them. Maybe it's a more iterative process. What would it be designed like from your perspective?
I think potentially, this type of approach could be very effective. However, I think there's a continuum among customers out there, as just as there is among writers out there. Some are really understand marketing communications and how to the elements and how to create them and they understand what they're looking for. They know they're looking for in a writer and an end product. Others just, less so. So there is with less experienced marketing people, there's kind of a triage that I go through where I'm, helping them to understand really what they want and what they need.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that's a little bit more difficult to do with online, template. So I think, you know, again, it's probably most effective with more experienced people who can really put down what they need and what they want.
So let me throw something really radical at you. You've heard of eHarmony, right? The dating site that you know, where you fill out a profile of your wants and needs and desires and goals and, you know, activities and fun things you do, and then somebody else fills out the same thing. And technology, big data, if you will, finds matches, right? Do you think something like that could work with writers being matched up with clients and the other way around?
That's really interesting. It's funny you mentioned eHarmony because I'm writing something now that deals with kind of the whole world. That's a really interesting approach. Maybe again, it's all based on input. So what people input, both the client and the writer, you know, is based on what their perceptions are of what they want and who they are. Mm-hmm. And if you're a less experienced marketer, you might not know how to best fill out that, you know, those fields.
Mm-hmm.
But the potential, but it's an interesting approach, perhaps.
Yeah. And what do you think big data can do for that matchmaking process?
You know, I'm not sure. I know that I saw Gartner just came out with a forecast of saying that within a few years, like 20% of marketing is going to be written by robots. so I know, and I know AP there's a lot of AP stories being written by robots now. So mm-hmm. I don't know what to make of that, frankly. I think I don't think robots can create really, perhaps I'm wrong, but at least from what I know, can't create great communications that have style and kind of an artistic feel about them. And I think that, I think there's a limit to what big data can do.
Yeah. Well, I hope Forrester Research goes out of business with that prediction. But
yeah.
I'm with you, believe me. Let me tell you what I meant by that, because it was a little slightly different angle. So one of the real interesting things about Writer Access that we've been able to sort of be part of with the growth of this company in the last 6 years is the amount of data that we capture literally with every order that goes through the platform. We know if a customer met or if a customer rated the content, did it meet, exceed, or below expectations? We know if writers are, if requests are being, revision requests are being asked, although that's a tricky one from an algorithmic perspective, because we here at Writer Access want a customer to actually give feedback to a writer, particularly when they start working with them for the first time. Whereas if they're perpetually doing that and having problems with orders, that's a different kind of problem. And it's difficult for a bot, you know, an algorithm to understand those distinctions unless it's the first, say, five orders, which we can block out from algorithmic rating. You start to understand what I'm saying. We're also looking at patterns of what customers are ordering. Are they ordering copywriting or general writing or blog writing or medical writing or legal writing? We force customers as part of these 100 things we ask them on their order form. You know, what industry expertise do you want the writer to, is this order being placed in? What type of writing do you want? And interestingly enough, that's often confuses writing because they think that the writer that they want to have work on this project might not get the order because of filling out the industry specialty or something like that. So, but there's tons of data we're gathering, right? And so then we have data on the other side of the coin where we have writers go through, we call this burdensome questionnaire, where we want to learn all this data about them. How many projects have you completed in these industries and what's your da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right? So big data can actually play a big role with the matchmaking process, and that's what we're secretly trying to put together and do more with. Do you believe in that as a concept with all this data, and do you believe that because of that data we can maybe find great clients for a writer like you, and does that make sense to you?
Oh, absolutely. No, that definitely makes sense. I'm the recipient of that because I've been naturally clients already, like with LinkedIn, and have had some very successful engagement based on you know, keyword searches and
right.
kind of technology stuff that I've written about. So yeah, no, I can personally attest to that.
Yeah. The content marketing revolution is in full force, I think we can safely say, right? So what does that mean for you? Have you seen your income go up in the last few years? Have your prices gone up, by the way? And how do you charge? There's like three questions there, by the way. My apologies.
Yeah.
But tell us generally about any answers you want. Yeah.
I think the content marketing thing is very hot now. However, a lot of the jobs that I see advertised are, strangely enough, very low-level type of
marketing
today. Mm-hmm. And I don't really understand that. I think people, there's a lack of understanding of the importance of content writing. And I just don't understand why it's so devalued, because it's so important to the bottom line. So I'm looking at it, and I'm not sure what to make of it, frankly. I really think I know there's a role for senior writers, which I am, and I charge either by the hour, which I don't really like to do, but I sometimes find myself doing, usually by the project, which comes out a lot, you know, better for me, or by on a retainer. And I just recently finished like a 5-year retainer with a company that was then bought by another company, which was absorbed by a third company. So everybody that I was supporting was laid off, you know, so that's why that ended. But now retainers, I love the stability of retainers, the ability to really have a long-term relationship with a customer, to be much more value for them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Projects are much more lucrative. And like, again, you know, as a senior writer, you're coming in, you know, the benefit to the client is you're coming in just to do the project. They're not paying you overtime. They're not paying you your any benefit. They're getting someone that specifically, have a specific talent to write a specific key communication that they need. So I think it's a good deal for a customer. But, you know, go ahead.
Let's go back to the goldfish for a second. Herding goldfish, you know, tell us a little bit about herding. What's the underlying theme there that you have for us?
You're basically trying to capture people's short attention span. Mm-hmm. And, we all have a short attention span these days. I mean, I read the New York Times every day, but I rarely do I finish it, make a complete article, except for maybe some of the editorials, because I get it, and then I move on. I get what the article's about, and I move on. And I think a lot of people are like that. It's multi, triple, and quadruple path. And so you really have to write in a really compelling way and make it short and make it sweet and get to the point. And strangely enough, you see communications that are really not written that way all the time. It's just, you know, it's not as effective.
So what's the secret in your mind to staying on the top of mind with a reader that long after they've passed you by something that you've written?
You know, speak shorter sentences, speak with some sort of voice and attitude, get to the point of what you're talking about. It's like, you know, as a journalist, you're trained to write that way, really, to, you know, write a headline and a lead-in and a main, you know, section that really, you know, kind of headlines what you're talking about, whether it's hard news or a feature article. And I think that really just gains communications as well, and marketing.
Final Jeopardy question for you. What's the future of writing going to look like? Do you think that we're going to enter an awful, terrible phase of writing written communication like we're seeing with the kids these days on Twitter and all kinds of different symbols and letters stuck together to transmit some sort of word that they are unable to write? What's your take on that?
You know, I to be honest with you, I really don't know. However, both of my sons, who are very technologically adept, both read articles. You know, and both of their girlfriends read books. So, you know, hopefully, you know, the written word will maintain, and even long form will maintain its appeal. I don't think novels are going to go away, and great feature writing, and so I'm hopeful that it will, great writing will all there will be a need for it, whether it's creative writing or marketing communication, which also should be great, by the way.
Okay, I lied. Two final questions for you, which I love in ending interviews on. Who would you like to get a hold of you, and how can they get a hold of you?
I kind of focus on technology companies. I'm really good writing about technology. I understand it. I've specifically done a lot with software and networking. Understand those worlds really well. I've seen them. And you can contact me via my email address if you want me to spell it out for you or give it to you now.
Sure, or just a website address is fine too.
My website is Naur, Naur-Inc.com.
Terrific. Gene, it's been a pleasure chatting with you today. Thanks so much for being with us.
Likewise. Thank you so much. Take care.
You bet. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Until next week, I hope your life's a little smarter, better, faster, and wiser. Thanks to Gene. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening, and happy writing. You can join us each week for a new podcast. Check out Writer Podcasts on Stitcher, iTunes, and our website, writeraccess.com.